injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like S&R Remodeling, AMS, the Axley Law Firm, St. Vincent de Paul, and many others. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. John, before we get to anything else, and this certainly isn't even in the top 10 things of importance in the country, but it sure is fun to cover. And because I know there's an inner child in you, let me just play this story from NBC.
Okay.
As he lets out with a giggle. All right, here we go.
When the factor begins right now.
As advertisers continue to flee the O'Reilly factor, 35 and counting tonight, Bill O'Reilly gained a powerful defender against accusations the Fox News star sexually harassed female colleagues. Coming to his side, President Donald Trump. In an interview with the New York Times, Trump called O'Reilly a good person. O'Reilly and Fox News settled claims from five women for $13 million, according to the Times. But Trump said, "I think he shouldn't have settled," adding, "I don't think Bill did anything wrong." That defense of O'Reilly, who Trump says he knows well, infuriated attorney Lisa Bloom.
I've been flooded with calls, by the way, from Fox News women all week.
Now representing Wendy Walsh, a former Fox contributor who claims O'Reilly harassed her.
And I simply said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that."
Trump has been accused of unwanted sexual conduct in the past and denied it. His comments about an actress during an Access Hollywood taping almost derailed his presidential campaign. Trump apologized, but no new words from O'Reilly. Just his statement earlier this week that his fame made him vulnerable to lawsuits and he settled to protect his children. A controversy in the headlines during April, what the president has proclaimed as National Sexual Assault and Prevention Month. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Welcoming the king of...
Okay, Donald Trump has a really, really low approval rating, but among women... it's awful. The worst.
He's got a, yeah, that probably didn't help any, did it?
Yeah, I'm guessing that story's not going to help.
Was that, you know, didn't he didn't really have a lot of choice there, did he?
Well, isn't that something? Kind of like,
I mean, what were you going to say?
Honor Among Thieves? Isn't that the name of a band, Honor Among Thieves?
I think, a professional courtesy. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know. It's like, if you're Trump and you've been through everything Trump's been through and, you know, O'Reilly comes up, it's not like you could say, yeah, boy, I'm pretty darn concerned about what I'm hearing about Bill O'Reilly there. That's bad stuff, isn't it? No, I mean, the thing about Trump is whether you believe everything he's been charged with or everything that's been said about him, if you were to list the 10 things people know about Donald Trump, that'd be one of them, right? That, you know.
Yeah, they know the tip of the iceberg, that's for sure.
But here's the interesting thing. Yeah, well, maybe. But here's what gets interesting. As best I can tell from reading the Times thing, he wasn't exactly being dragged into that conversation. You know, this is the point I want to get to. Like, if they asked him about it and they said, you know, they really pressed him on it. Yeah, I mean, what's he going to say, right? I mean, he finds himself in a difficult position. Best response would be no comment. But he wasn't even being asked. It seemed like a lot of what he was saying there was he was volunteering material. And especially the thing of he shouldn't have settled. Am I right in quoting
yes,
on that?
Yes, you are absolutely right. Yeah.
So he's giving, as the president of the United States, right, you've got these women who pretty courageously, in my view, stepped up and said, you know, at risk to their own careers, at risk to, you know, all sorts of other things, there's something really wrong here. And some of them got settlements. Other folks have, you know, by all accounts, just tried to, you know, do their best to get some information out. And you got the President of the United States basically saying you shouldn't have settled with those people.
Well,
that's kind of taken aside in the debate.
It sure is. And I'll tell you, there are other people taking sides. This would be not Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump's side. This would be Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you about something the president said today on the record in the Oval Office about Bill O'Reilly, an individual who had said some offensive things, in my opinion, about you and sort of apologized for, but then redoubled his attack on you. Mr. O'Reilly faces multiple allegations of sexual harassment, numerous settlements on that score, outstanding ones as well. The president saying this of Mr. O'Reilly, I think he's a person I know well. He's a good person. I think he shouldn't have settled. Personally, I think he shouldn't have settled because you should have taken it all the way. I don't think Bill did anything wrong. What do you make of that?
Well, it's coming out of the mouth of a man who has said some horrible things about women. Don't forget, he talked about grabbing women in their private parts, and because he was important, he could get away with it. And so they are two of a kind. And so I'm not surprised that he stood up and tried to defend Bill O'Reilly. But it's all catching up with Bill O'Reilly and that sexual harassment enterprise that they created over there at Fox. And it's catching up with them, and you have over 30 advertisers who have taken away their advertising. They are not wanting to do business with them anymore because of the way that they have created this record of sexual harassment. They have treated women very badly. And so I understand the Justice Department has opened a case. They're taking a look at them because this really is a sexual harassment enterprise. It shouldn't be in America that you can sexually harass women and then buy your way out of it because you're rich. If they continue to do this in the way that they have done, they need to go to jail. You know, the president's over there talking today about Susan Rice going to jail. They need to go to jail. Bill O'Reilly needs to go to jail. And so I just want you to know that the president didn't do himself any good standing up for Bill O'Reilly. And where was Ivanka? She's supposed to be his advisor. She's supposed to be the one that's standing up for women. Right. I think she either advised him wrong or she's absent, and she's not in it.
All right, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, ma'am.
All right, now, this is the hilarious part. Enter the next guest.
You're welcome.
Joining me now, Republican political consultant and media strategist Rick Wilson. I should just note that the congressman referred to a Justice Department investigation. We'll talk about that. Obviously, there's been no charges or criminal of any kind. I should just say that.
Just to clarify. Well, a couple things I loved about that Maxine Waters.
Wasn't that wonderful? Okay?
Yeah, first thing I really like is the term sexual harassment enterprise.
Oh, well.
It's like corporatizing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought that was a nice turn of phrase.
That's wonderful.
And then the they should be in jail thing. And you know, I respect the clarification. Oh, well, you know, we've got to just clarify here. You know, no convictions at this point. But that's, you know, if you're, with all due respect, Maxine Waters gives back to Trump in the way that he gives.
Oh, yes, she does.
She pushes back as hard as he pushes. And why I think that is important is that it is clear that Donald Trump feeds off people who play the political game by the old school rules, right? And Maxine Waters has not. From the day one that Trump came along, she has made it absolutely clear. She doesn't like the guy. She doesn't think he's very legitimate. She is incredibly willing to call him out. She's always been willing to talk about impeachment. And, you know, she's just a very interesting foil for Trump. And I think the fact that she says it with, there's sort of a sweetness in the way she says things, though. It's a little bit of a, you know, down-home flavor to it that makes it especially, the knife goes in very, very effectively.
Now, have you been praying for Bill O'Reilly? I know as a Christian, you must care about Bill O'Reilly and his very difficult time he's going through, because I've been watching Bill this week, and while he hasn't commented on this, I noticed the Mercedes ads are gone and the Hyundai ads are gone. And well, there are Shriner PSAs running during his program. And
Shriner PSAs?
Shriner PSAs. And
that's good.
MyPillow.com ads.
Well, those are there. At least they've got those. Okay. In my praying form, you've got all humanity, right? You know, everybody's got their... Every human being deserves, you know, the best that they can get. I think that Bill O'Reilly is sort of reaping what he has sown, if we are, in fact, going to speak in such language? I think there's a little bit of evidence that things are coming back to haunt. But here is the interesting twist on the whole thing, for what it's worth. I don't think Fox gets rid of him.
I agree.
He holds the whole... even if the advertisers flee away, right?
Well, there is kind of a nuance to that. Many of those advertisers have not pulled off Fox. They've shifted their dollars
around.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. And you wonder whether that's temporary.
Well, but here's the interesting thing. If they pop them off, Fox, if they take them off altogether, then those people who parked their money over on Hannity or some other show.
Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, that's a parking spot. But if they tuck their money in over there, and suddenly you pull O'Reilly out, who is a ratings leader, you draw the rest of the network down, and at that point, maybe they do exit altogether, right? They don't just move their money around, they leave. Or they don't put quite as much there. And so the weird thing is that I don't think Fox has a lot of shame as a network. And so the idea that you can shame them into doing the right thing is a little bit, I just don't know if that's there. And so then with a network that doesn't have shame, the thing becomes the economics. And weirdly, I think the economics still, even though you've got this boycott or this movement away from him, the economics still benefits his staying there. It's, you know, so this is going to be a very interesting test because, do you know what? One little thing, and I could be wrong about this, because I don't know, but sometimes when you start to get stuff like this, more comes.
No. Well, God help Bill O'Reilly if his divorce case is ever unsealed, because that is not a pretty picture. I've read some of the stuff and then it quickly was taken down. I suspect there were legal threats, but that is not a pretty picture. Let me ask you this. Is Bill O'Reilly in some respect going to survive this because we kind of lowered our standards on this, electing Donald Trump?
Well, we lowered standards electing Donald Trump, you know, on a variety of fronts.
In some respects, Bill Clinton.
Well, yes. And so it gets to be an interesting thing, doesn't it? I don't know, you know. To tell you, I think Clinton's, there's a little bit of original sin there with the Clinton situation, right? Or even the Teddy Kennedy stuff back. Going even further back, where a lot of folks said, you know, I really don't like what happened there, but I don't like the other guys a lot more. You know what I mean? Ideology and politics come in. And I think that here's the interesting dynamic of this. Fox is a conservative network. Nobody doubts its ideology. It's also a network that, you know, while it hasn't completely on every show thrown in with Trump, it's much more sympathetic to Trump and to the current political moment than other networks. And so I think that the pressures that might move a network to do the right thing or at the very least to say, you know, look, we have to part company with this person, those pressures aren't on Fox. Less likely development. So when you say we lowered the standards with Trump, what I would say to you is, I'm not sure that standards were lowered everywhere, right? I mean, maybe societally there was a lowering of standards, then that's a serious issue. But what I'm saying is that the standards may still apply at some networks,
Just not Fox.
I'm just not sure they apply at Fox.
All right. John Nichols with us. It's LiesOffice.com.
Take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
We're back at LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation joins us. Well, obviously, the far more serious story was the quite interesting response with President Trump standing next to King Abdullah yesterday after what had happened in Syria.
Welcoming the King of Jordan to the White House, the president firmly condemned the chemical weapons attack in Syria, placing the blame squarely on the Syrian government.
To humanity, I can tell you, terrible.
And later at a joint press conference in the Rose Garden, he suggested there should be retaliation.
These heinous actions by the Assad regime cannot be tolerated.
In the past, again and again, Donald Trump said the U.S. should not get involved, tweeting, Syria is not our problem, when President Obama proposed protecting civilians. And after Assad's massive chemical weapons attack in 2013, he tweeted, do not attack Syria, fix USA, adding, if you do, many bad things will happen, and from that fight, the U.S. gets nothing. But now the president says these horrific images have changed his views on the Assad regime. Innocent civilians suffering from this week's attack. More than 80 dead. Here a father clutches his twin 9-month-old babies. Both killed.
Well, I do change. And I am flexible. And I'm proud of that flexibility. And I will tell you, that attack on children yesterday had a big impact on me. Big impact. And it's very, very possible, and I will tell you, it's already happened, that my attitude toward Syria and Assad has changed very much.
Trump blames President Obama for the humanitarian crisis, but acknowledges it's now his challenge to solve.
Of course, he didn't say how he would solve it yesterday, but he's been on just about every side of this issue. He says he's flexible. Boy, is he flexible. It was just a couple days ago. They were talking about leaving, that it was okay for Assad to stay in. He better be careful.
Yeah,
he better be careful, yeah. Or parts of that dossier are going to leak.
Can I just say something?
Oh, come on. You got to respond to my cute line there.
Dossier? What dossier?
A dossier.
I know the one. Because yeah. It's not like Assad isn't tied to the Russians, eh?
Exactly.
I believe the Warrens. You should have like a little key, save get key on your computer. To take the Warren Zevon from Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Very
and
good.
Where he goes, how was I to know he was with the Russians too? And you just press the button and that pops up whenever the reference comes.
Very good.
It'd be a good little, it'd be like radio, you know? But here's the interesting thing. Yeah, he's been on every side of the issue. But I'm going to throw a name in here. This is like a test for you and the excellent listeners. April Glaspie.
April? Remember? April who?
Glaspie, I believe. I hope I've got it right.
I hope you do, too, because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Ambassador to Iraq, I believe.
Okay.
And there was a suggestion back before the first Persian Gulf War, back in, you know, like 1990, that the ambassador to Iraq had, you know, in conversations with the Iraqis, given the impression that the U.S. didn't care that much about, you know, the U.S. wasn't all that obsessed.
Oh, yeah. Remember that well.
One? Yeah, yeah. And so the suggestion, whether it was fair to her or not, or whether that was the case, you know, I just Googled her, or just looked her up here, and it says in the top of her wiki entry, best known for her role in events leading up to the Gulf War.
Well, she had clearly...
The only reason,
I mean, George H.W. Bush had definitely sent mixed messages on that.
That's right. And so there was always a suggestion that maybe not being clear enough with the Iraqis might have actually encouraged people to think... Not encourage people to do things. That's not what I'm saying. But it would encourage people to think they could get away with things, right? And I would suggest to you that, you know, Trump's busy blaming Obama for everything. Some of the signals that Trump has sent in the last couple weeks might have made Assad think he could get away with certain
things. Well, we have a lot of circumstances now where Donald Trump is being tested, right?
Yeah. Well, but that's not, I'm not even saying a test. I'm just saying, like, Assad thinking, oh, you know, I got a pretty free rein here. I don't have to worry about, you know, what the U.S. is going to do, because they're not going to mess with me. Now, I'm not saying that's for sure. We can't get into it. Luckily, we can't get into Assad's head, which I think is a very positive thing, and for a variety of reasons. But Trump hasn't been clear. He hasn't had a clear line on Syria, and frankly, neither has the lamentable, virtually non-existent Rex Tillerson.
Well, Egypt is going to get away with whatever they want now. That message was sent very clear the other day. So Stephen Bannon has been taken off the National Security Council.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So here is political consultant Rick Wilson, who had the misfortune of having to come on right after Maxine Waters. So he had to really perform last night. Here's what he had to say about...
He's a performer. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. He's very good. Okay. Here is Rick Wilson.
Look, I think Bannon made a big play in attempting to use Cohen, Whitnick, and Ellis to leak to Nunez, their patsy, a lot of the material about the unmasking to try to change the subject, try to make this a story about Susan Rice rather than about Trump's ties to Russia and the ties of his advisors to Russia, and he failed. It became exposed, it became a liability, and the play wasn't big enough. I think that's why Bannon lost the access to the National Security Council, because I think at some point the grown-ups in the room, McMaster, Mattis, Pompeo said, it's us or him. And the guy is a blogger. He's not. He's a blogger and a producer of cuckoo documentaries. He is not a guy with an international experience, a portfolio of international experience. He made a big play, and in the Game of Thrones, he got his head chopped off today.
You know, I hate Game of Thrones references because haven't read the book, haven't watched a movie, so that stuff always goes blank on me.
In one ear, out the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And can I also say something else about Mr. Wilson? Well said. I mean,
that was well said.
Theatrical.
Blogger.
He's a blogger. But you know what? If Mr. Wilson was as successful as Mr. Bannon at blogging, at making movies, at reshaping how Hollywood works, at working with Goldman Sachs, at integrating himself into, you know, high levels in the military and the Department of Defense, that's his career. Anybody who thinks Steve Bannon is just a blogger is a fool.
Well, I don't think that's you know what? I honestly don't think that's what he believes, but I think he was sending Bannon a message. I think that was
theater.
Yeah.
But I just want to say something. And anybody who thinks that Steve Bannon was demoted, I would invite them to pause and think a little bit about this. The Russia thing is blowing up. It's becoming a real mess. Nunez had to
step down.
Quit today. Step down. Quit running the investigation, not leave the committee. But you've had Flynn's out. Sessions had to recuse. Well, anybody that knows anything about this stuff knows that Bannon is certainly not far away from a lot of this stuff. This is my theory. Could be wrong. I don't think Bannon was demoted. I think they decided, it's pretty good we should get that title off away from him and let everybody think that, you know, we've kind of pushed him back in the corner. And then he's going to be able to operate the way he's always liked to operate, which is a little bit behind the scenes.
I'd like your sort of quick summation of what happened in the spring elections in Madison and Dane County.
Yeah, I think that we just had spring elections and we had some good races. At the top level one, the state superintendent of public instruction race, obviously the conservative pro vouchers Betsy DeVos candidate, Lowell Holtz, did very, very badly. And he had his own flaws and his own problems. But that was a very, pretty significant result, a 70-30 win for the kind of outsized advocate for, you know, public education, public schools, doing the right thing. The guy who was endorsed by the teachers union and unions, and who, I might add, you know, just for the sake of it, you know, just for reference, the guy who used pictures from the Wisconsin uprising in his literature. Did you notice that with Tony Evers?
I didn't see that literature.
Yeah, he had literature, and he had like 3 or 4 pictures on him. One of them is him in the Capitol during the, I think.
Well, he was very much present during those demonstrations because I saw him numerous times. Yeah, right.
So, I mean, with all due respect to Betsy DeVos and Scott Walker, I don't think they won that one. So I find that a consequential result.
Okay, locally.
Locally, in their races for judge, school board, city council, the victory of Jill Karofsky in the judge's race was a clear win for, the courthouse folks and the folks who, have produced a lot of our judges in Dane County. I think that they were very supportive of her because they thought she'd be a good judge. And my sense is she will.
Let me ask you this. Last year, Andy Jorgensen, as a state legislator, ran for, I don't know, the Register of Deeds down in Rock County, right?
Yeah, maybe.
He got beat by a woman that worked in that office. Do you think that voters sort of compartmentalize these things and kind of put people in their different categories of where they think they belong?
Well, you know, we have so, I don't think you and I do, but an awful lot of people have so little respect for the voters that they I think, just imagine the voters are always, you know, bad players, right? Or weak, or don't think about things. I actually think voters do think about things, and they kind of weigh a variety of factors, especially in a spring election, and where you have a lower turnout and I think a very highly engaged group of people. Now,
I didn't mean that as a negative. I just meant that people feel like, you know,
So in that race, I think Marilyn Thompson, who ran in that race, is a great, really terrific person who I have a lot of respect for. But I don't think that it came together there. She was running more as somebody who was, I think, challenging business as usual, and she did not prevail. In the school board races, you had two school board races, and one of them was pretty much decided from the start because one of the candidates, Ed Hughes, stepped back and cleared the way, and yet, interestingly enough, still got 30% of the vote. And so we got one school board member there with Vandermillen. The other one, it was a very interesting race because I think Allie Moudreau, who was running for the seat, had some initial advantages and had a significant amount of support. But my sense is that she was harmed by a forum where she expressed an openness to some of the school choice, or at least to some voucher type things. I don't think that's where she was at. I don't think I don't think she was a bad player. The Cap Times endorsed her. But my sense is that a misstatement there really haunted her and created an opening for Kate Taves to win that seat. But that's not to diminish the fact that Taves ran very, very hard and did a very effective
campaign. Ran a very professional campaign.
So, the bottom line is, you asked me about these races, how do we pull them together? The bottom line is that people who ran very, very professional campaigns, and in a way, very traditional and very targeted campaigns, won.
How about that?
And, you know, that happens sometimes. Although the most interesting race to me, the one that stands out that I am watching with tremendous interest, is what happened in the town of Middleton.
I was going to ask you about that next.
That's a wild, fabulous. That's nationally notable.
Well,
it's
really a message to Republicans. Encroaching on local zoning,
and they've been at war. Republicans have in the legislature in Wisconsin, but also in some other states, they've been at war with local control. They are the big government, pressure down from the top party, And so they've been trying to take away the ability of communities to do living wage ordinances and, you know, protections for workers in all sorts of different settings and healthcare initiatives. And now you got Trump trying to do, you know, attack on the sanctuary city thing. And, you know, you got all this stuff where they're coming from the top telling people at the local level, you can't do what you want to do. Well, they had this proposal to let townships kind of opt out of county zoning plans and, you know, sort of these broader land use plans. And the guy who was pushing the legislature, Keith Rip, I believe, was running around saying, well, the town boards can still decide on this, and we're just going to get rid of the ability to have a referendum on it so that everybody could weigh in on a big, big thing about land use. And he sort of said at one point, yeah, if you really want to do something about this, you know, you can run for the town board. And it was, of course, after the filing deadlines, or I think after the filing deadlines for a town board, so a couple of people just ran write-in campaigns, and they beat the town chair and one of the town board members basically on this issue of saying, people should have a say.
And Tim Rail, who I know, who was at that committee bragging about we know better, and it was complete arrogant testimony. It sure did come back to haunt him. Yeah. And I will just say this. The town of Middleton is not the city of Middleton. The town of Middleton is kind of conservative. It's not right wing, but it's kind of conservative, right? There are a lot of wealthy people that live in the town of Middleton. And so
he's had a distinct politics. Yeah.
Right. John Nichols.
And this is very interesting results there.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Thanks for coming to Sly's Office, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters. Because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.